Luke 1, 26 to 38. The birth of Jesus foretold. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she was said to be unable to conceive, is in her sixth month. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month. For no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her.
Thanks so much, Christina. A few months ago, I went with the family to the National Gallery, and it's incredible having a look at loads of different paintings. And I've just been, blown away by just how amazing some of the painted bits of art are. That they look just like photographs in some case, don't they? And it's amazing. The horse by Stubbs. I don't know who's been to the National Gallery. Most people. It's worth going if you haven't been, because it's just absolutely incredible. And we'll be thinking a bit about this painting today. But before we do, let's just pray, shall we? Lord, we thank you so much for the gifts that you give us. We thank you for, Lord, the fact that we can sing, the fact we can read, the fact that we can, just do so many different things, play instruments. And Lord, we pray that you would help us to use our minds today to engage with your word, that you would speak to our hearts, that we would grow in faith and in our calling that you give us to go and make disciples. In the power of your Spirit, we pray. Amen. So, if you go to the National Gallery in London, you will see this painting. It's a small painting by a guy called Duccio, and it's one of the gallery's oldest. It was made in around 1307 to 11, so in the Middle Ages. It's one of the lower panels in a much larger altarpiece in Siena Cathedral. And you'll see, just at the bottom left-hand corner, there's a red box around it. You might find looking at the back easier if you're over there as well. That's where this panel fits in. The National Gallery has three of these small panels that show the stories from the New Testament. And this one is called the Annunciation. If you take a look on the left, if we can go back to the next slide, please. So back to the next slide, that's a bit of a contradiction, isn't it? Forward to the next slide. If you take a look on the left of the painting, you'll see the angel Gabriel is coming through an arch similar to those that are found in Siena. And in the picture, we see a white porch that frames Mary, who is facing towards Gabriel. The angel is seen stepping through the arch. Gabriel's really animated, isn't he? with his right leg forming a line that runs up through his arm. If you go from his heel and then you just see an imaginary line that goes through to his hand, he's blessing Mary. It's as if the blessing is part of his movement as he steps towards her. Rather than looking surprised or at peace at receiving the blessing, Mary looks quite troubled, doesn't she? Her blue cloak is held in a way that she seems to be shielding herself. Her head is dipped and her face looks shy, perhaps even concerned. Mary clearly has loads on her mind, doesn't she? And what's more, she seems to be separated from the angel by the white pillar, in the safety of her porch where she stands. Her elbow is raised as if she's shielding herself. Duccio clearly wanted to show that Mary was really feeling troubled. As Luke mentioned, the angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favoured. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. The angel said, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favour with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son. You will call him Jesus." "How will this be?" asked the angel, "since I'm a virgin." Unlike Zechariah, Mary asked her question not from unbelief, but because she was puzzled. The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, so the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God." Mary stands within the white porch, which represents her virginity, her purity. Behind and just inside the porch she stands in, you can see a white mark. And when you look closer, you can see that the white mark is in fact a dove, representing the Holy Spirit. The lines towards the top of the painting that come down show the motion of the Holy Spirit being sent by God as Jesus' earth story begins. The angel says, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One will be born, the born will be called the Son of God." I wonder how Mary was feeling when she heard those words. In Mary's left hand, she holds a book open at the prophetic words of Isaiah. "Behold, a virgin will conceive and bear a son and shall call him Emmanuel," God with us. Although she could choose to step back through the doorway that's darkened behind her, the words in her hand and from the angel seem to prevent her from doing so. It's as though she's timidly accepting, "I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled." All that said, her finger points towards the exit, which seems at first to suggest that Mary's thinking about making a swift exit. We know, however, that isn't the case. Think back to the painting as it would have been on the larger altarpiece. And you'll see that what Mary is painting to is the next painting in the narrative, the Nativity. Mary is accepting the divine plan and her part in it. Her pointing with a curved, fragile finger is a gesture of obedience. Mary is saying yes on her part to God's plan. Mary wasn't feeble. She was a strong woman of God. We've become accustomed to believe that women in the first century were always in the shadow of men. But archaeology and other writings indicate that there was quite a variety of views and practices towards the roles of women. There were some women who led in synagogues. There were some who were landowners and businesswomen and who had a religious education. Of course, there were others that were disadvantaged and powerless too. While that might have been the case for Mary, who was betrothed or engaged to Joseph, this would be different. saying yes to God from a worldly perspective would completely ruin her life. Her reputation would be absolutely trashed. She would be an outcast, but she trusted God's plan. What a contrast to the example we heard last week with Zechariah, who is a man, a priest in the Holy Temple, and Mary, a young woman, who was living in the more disrespectful, or not quite as respectful, Galilee. A couple towards the twilight years of their marriage, and a couple who hadn't even set off on their journey with God together. Two related families, both on different paths, but both playing their part in God's story, the story of our Saviour, Jesus. Mary is quite often defined by her motherhood, but in contrast to Zechariah, she is blessed by God for her belief. She stands in the face of whatever will be thrown at her, knowing that God's promises are far greater. God's will come to pass. And to that end, Mary says, yes. She is at the start of her journey that will take Jesus from the manger to the cross and ultimately to his resurrection. To her calling, Mary says, I am the Lord's servant. May your words to me be fulfilled. I wonder, where are you and I on our journeys with God? Have we echoed the words of Mary to God? I am the Lord's servant. May your word be fulfilled. I wonder what circumstances might get in the way of our saying, may your word be fulfilled. Mary didn't let any part of her identity get in the way. She didn't let her story get in the way, including her circumstances of being engaged. She didn't allow any of that to cloud her vision of God's plan. She knew that God would weave her story into his. She was favored because the Lord set his grace upon her, not because she'd earned good standing. God's grace is sufficient for you and for me. He doesn't want past hurts to get in the way of the calling that he has given to us. And despite the circumstances that she faced, God would look after her and would bring about his master plan to save humanity. That sounds quite heavy, doesn't it? But he also invites you and me to play our part in his plan too. Have we accepted that part that God has for us to play in his plan? Do we allow our prior hurts, our disappointments, the things that we've missed out on, the things that we've achieved to maybe get in the way? Do we say yes to God? Like Mary, have we stepped into the calling that we've been given? Have we invited him to bring his word to birth in our hearts as we turn our hearts towards him and we offer him our lives? Maybe those are questions that we could continue to reflect on over the rest of Advent as we journey together and we give thanks to God for his goodness. Amen.